Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletop from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from many hundred miles up Interstate 5 from me up in Sacramento is Amy Barnard Bond. Amy is a longtime compliance veteran and executive coach and just authored the book, The Promotability Index Guidebook. First, Amy, thanks for taking the time to join us again today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Adam. Happy to be back.
Oh, happy to have you. Now, let's talk about promotability. It's a great concept and something, you know, compliance people need to think about as they think about their own careers. What are the key elements of promotability and which is the one people underestimate? Can you give us an example maybe of a well-known leader who you think best demonstrates, you know, one of these elements?
Sure. Well, the five key elements of promotability, and they're all interrelated, Adam, are number one, self-awareness. Second, external awareness. Third is strategic thinking. Fourth is executive presence. And fifth is thought leadership. And in the Promotability Index, which some people may have taken over, thousands of leaders have taken it, it breaks them down in a way that leaders can study them, analyze how they stack up in kind of a fun and easy and free way. And I encourage people to pick one to two areas to work on that help move them forward. But the one that I find leaders underestimate the most is external awareness. And that's around how are your behaviors impacting others, and do you have an accurate self-awareness of how other people perceive you? And one of my favorite quotes is, perception is the co-pilot to reality. And if people perceive you a certain way, for them, that's their reality. And so it's really important to know that. I recently wrote an article for Harvard Business Review called Promotions Aren't Just About Your Skills, They're About Your Relationships. And so, as you may have experienced as well, Adam, through your career, promotions aren't always fair or rational. And so when it comes down to promotions, your skills and knowledge and abilities are usually just the ticket to the game. And of course, you need to be good at what you do, but it's really relationships and working with other people that's going to get you that promotion. So that's where I would say external awareness is most important.
Yeah, and I got to say, from my own personal career, I can totally agree with that. I mean, I've known that, you know, there's a time in my life where I thought I was ready to be promoted. And it was pointed out to me very nicely by my bosses at the time. The problem is they knew I cared about the job and I was up for it, but I didn't project that to others other than them. And that got in the way. And I really changed the way I was behaving in the office. And you know, 6 weeks later, I got the promotion.
Fantastic.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, we think of ourselves in one way, but the rest of the world doesn't see it. You know, I often say life is like a Rorschach test. You know, it's not what the ink blot is. It's what people take from it. And I think that definitely applies to career things. Now, what would be like your number one tip for employees when they want to initiate a conversation about a promotion with their manager?
My number one tip, Adam, would be to separate it from the compensation discussion. I think too many people only think of promotion at compensation time, and usually by then, number one, it's too late. Having been a chief human resources officer as well as a compliance officer, the succession planning discussions go on, you know, earlier than that. And you want to really keep it developmental, and you want to keep it a discussion and not a negotiation. And so I would wait until it's usually around March, you know, January to March, that most companies have their comp and promotion cycles. I would do it more August, September, you know, when it's clearly out of that area, and really create a safe space for your manager to give you the candid feedback that you ultimately need to get ahead. Because as you just pointed out, you have to understand how your boss and the power structure at your company views you as a leader to know if you have a shot at promotion in the culture you're in. And you want this to be a forward-looking developmental discussion with your boss that goes something like, hey, you know, can we talk about this? This is where I see myself now. How am I showing up? Am I working on the things I need to be working on? How am I seen? You know, what perceptions are out there that could block me for a promotion? This often comes up in my coaching with clients and doing 360s is, they're often not aware. And so the goal is to expose your blind spots and make sure as much as possible that you don't have a gap between your self-perception and the external perception, because that's what can really sneak up and nail you in your career and be a really unpleasant surprise.
Now, I think it's terrific advice, and I particularly like the part about separating it from the compensation agreement, because it's not about you then asking for more money. It's about you wanting to step up, deliver more value for the organization, achieve your own career objectives. All those things are much more positive.
Yeah, I think it may sound funny, but to me, a promotion is not about the money. Of course, we'd all like to make more money. But I think you, like you put it, Adam, you need to demonstrate that you want to take on more responsibility. You need to think about, you know, what is the organization going to benefit from? And you need to show leadership qualities. The money will follow if you're doing the right things, but lead with the leadership and your self-awareness, and it'll take you a lot farther. That would be my career advice.
Now, speaking of leadership, I want to put you on the spot a little bit. There's lots of those leadership quotes out there on posters that people, you know, swear by and all that stuff. Think about all the leadership quotes you've heard. Is there any that you think really does stand out and is worth keeping on a card on your desk or something?
That's a great question. And I do have a few, but my favorite would be from Peter Drucker, who's, I think, one of the greatest management thinkers around and did so much to change business and to really think about leadership. And his quote that I love is, "You should not change yourself, but create yourself." And that means build around your strengths and remove bad habits.
That's good advice, not only for leadership, but for getting through life in general. Now, what was it like for you working your way up the corporate ladder to a chief compliance officer in the C-suite? I mean, what are things you, looking back, point to in your career that were important?
Yeah, I spent about 20 years working in Fortune Global 50 orgs, worked my way up to chief compliance officer and CHRO and CAO. And I think that it was interesting growing, you know, graduating in the 90s, Adam, especially being a woman, there wasn't a lot of role models. I don't know if you remember Working Girl and some of those movies, Nine to Five. When I was kind of a young girl, those are the ones growing up. And not only were there particular obstacles for women in getting, you know, fair treatment and opportunities, because people assumed that you're really going to be more focused on family. And I am a working mom. I always have been. I have two teenage daughters now, and things have changed happily in many ways. But I would say that we still grew up in an ethos where it was just work harder. You know, if you just work harder, you'll get the golden ring. And it's really, as we've been discussing around relationships, it's not quite all about that. Sometimes being, you know, the most technically proficient or knowing everything isn't actually at a certain point what the C-suite needs. And I find, again, I find that a lot in my coaching when I'm brought in for a high potential, they don't realize that they've already achieved the top technical pinnacle of their success, and they need to completely shift and work on an entirely different area of their skills, which is getting along with others, leading through others, influence, those skills that are so critical. Because at the end of the day, the executive team wants someone they can count on and that works well with other people. They don't want just someone who's technically proficient.
And ultimately, you know, generally when it comes to leadership roles, it is about getting others to do work and do the, you know, do what needs to be done, not just yourself. And that's a big change in thinking for a lot of people. Now, what's special about the compliance role that requires this kind of leadership development from your experience?
You know, because of my background in training and as a coach, I instinctively pay special attention to governance functions like compliance, legal, and HR, because I think we have some of the most heroic and difficult jobs out there. We are not a P&L, we're not a money earner, we're not a product developer, and we're a gatekeeper, and that can put us into some really difficult conversations sometimes. I think we all work together to build the infrastructure, the rewards and recognition that really drive the corporate culture. And we all know that companies that have healthy workplace cultures produce better results and are happier places to work. And so I have a particular passion for this because I think that we have a tremendous task in front of us. Compliance is usually understaffed. They're often the first ones blamed and the last ones thanked. And unlike a P&L business, it can be hard. I remember doing my KPIs and trying to report to the board, et cetera. And as you know, Adam, it can be hard to attach data points to the significance of the work that we do in compliance and how to measure success because we're often politically vulnerable as well, you know, to be the fall person. And I recently wrote a piece for Fast Company around the phenomenon of shooting the messenger, which is another thing that sometimes we can run into. And so I think those are things that I think about specifically that are so important as a compliance professional to be aware of and to know how to navigate.
Yeah, it's definitely a complex world. And you know, in a lot of ways, what's all overlooked is the fact that compliance jobs by their nature are leadership roles, because ultimately you're not the one who's going to be compliant or not. It's the business people who are. And your job is to help lead them to make the right choices in their work. And that's not easy to do because people don't always like making the right choices. To your point about getting the metrics, you know, people don't come to the compliance office to say, hey, guess what felony I almost committed, and then I remembered what you taught me. It's a problem. So in some ways, it's, you know, it's a strange dynamic in which you're a leader where the best you can hope for is that nothing happens, which is different from the rest of a lot of the world. Well, Amy, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.